Way to go, Ed. That's great. Let's hear it for Ed. That's all right. Ed, no problem. We won't worry about that. Listen, I want to do one thing before we, we were singing that song just a minute ago. That's such an awesome song. I just want you to do this just to invite the presence of Jesus into our midst. And I just want you to say this with me. Just say the word Jesus. Just say Jesus. Say it again, Jesus. One more time. Now just a little bit louder. Just say Jesus. A little louder than that. Okay, now just as loud as you can possibly say it. Not bad there, not bad. And somebody's echoing up there in the top, you know. There's always one, you know. One more time, really quiet, Jesus. And so, Lord, now we just invite your presence here. We want you to be here in our midst, and we want you to touch every single one of us, and from the top row all the way to the front row. We don't want anyone here to walk out tonight without a clear understanding of what you want to do in their lives. And so would you just speak to each person who's here and help us to respond to what you're trying to say to us tonight in a very specific and real way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Jesus is here. And he wants to say something to us tonight, and I think it's very significant what he wants to say. There are all kinds of us in here, most of us who have grown up in the church. And when we come to a conference like this, it's so great. I mean, isn't this a great place? I mean, this place just rocks already, doesn't it? Huh? And you've just got to appreciate all that these guys do to make this thing work like it works. And I'm always so grateful and absolutely amazed at what they do. But it's fascinating to me that when you come to a conference like this, an event like this, and then you start heading back home, and some of you have been here. How many of you have been here more than 1 year? I mean, you've been here 4, 5, 10 years. I mean, you've been here, some of you, all your life. Okay, they're all over the place. Now, in light of that, why is it that when we go back home and maybe 3, 4 weeks later, 6 weeks later, 2 months later, all of a sudden it's like we hit a wall and everything that happened to us here just seems to dissipate and fall apart, and we hit this hurdle and we can't quite get over it. Or maybe you go to a camp, a conference, or your church retreat or something like that. Man, you get so fired up for Jesus Christ and you want to follow him, and you know Jesus is just the number one thing in your life. And yet when you get back into the groove of things, back home, then all of a sudden it just sort of goes along and you sort of lose it. And you come up against this barrier and you can't seem to get over the barrier to move on with your walk with God. And so tonight what I want to do with us in the brief time that we have is this. Is I want us to look at those things that are just sort of stopping you in the Christian life, that are causing you to get stuck right there. You're coming along and you're walking with God, you're going along with God, and it's not that you don't know Jesus Christ, it's that you do probably know him. Most of you in here know him one way or another, and if you don't, you really need to this week, and you will have the opportunity to do that. But tonight we want to focus in on that place right there where you just kind of get stuck. And let's just be honest right from the get-go here. There are many of us in here tonight who are stuck. And you've come here this week hoping to get unstuck. You've come this week hoping to be able to get over some hurdles and over some barriers in your life that are going to move you along and cause you to be able to really know the fulfillment of what it means to really walk with Jesus, to know him. And a lot of you have come this week and you're saying, God, just renew my heart, renew my spirit. Show me what it is that's causing me to get stuck here and help me to move along the way. And so tonight what we want to do is we want to address how we get over those hurdles that are keeping us from really walking with God day by day, having an intimate, personal, real, dynamic relationship with Jesus every day. What are those things that keep us from doing that? And as we look at those tonight, let's just look at those, be honest with ourselves, and say, God, would you just show me what it is that's stopping me from knowing you? And help me tonight to be honest enough with myself to face that and to deal with it in a very real and specific way. Now, just to illustrate that tonight, I found my friend Josh down here somewhere. Where is he, Josh? Hustle on up here, buddy. I'm Josh to come up here and just to help me illustrate Yeah, let's hear it for Josh. Where are you from, buddy?
North Carolina.
Where in North Carolina?
Cary.
Cary, North Carolina, right outside of Raleigh, right? Isn't that right? All right, and they're your two fans right up there, okay? They're both of them. Both of them. Okay, now, and one of them's his mom. Okay, now, here's what I want you to do. Josh, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come right over here, and you're going to start right over here at this end, and we're going to give you plenty of opportunity to run. And what I want you to do is you can start as far back there on the stage as you want. And what I want you to do, Josh, very simple thing, is just to run and jump every one of these hurdles across here. Just kind of one right after the other, okay? I want you to do that. Now, how many of you think you can do it? Hey! Woo! Go, Josh! Let's hear it for him. Say, man, go, Josh, go! Go, Josh, go! Yeah, just jump over him. Whoa! Let's hear it for him. Little encouragement here. Okay, go. Yeah, man. Good. Good, Josh. There you go. Good work, man. A little more encouragement from the crowd out there, okay? Okay, a little more encouragement from the crowd. Josh, go, buddy. Go. You're on, buddy. You're on. Okay, good. Yeah. That's good, Josh. Josh, you sort of cheated on that one. And we're going to talk about that in just a little while, so that's okay. I guess, go ahead, all right? All right, here we go. We're going for the next one. You're doing good. Okay, good. Good job. Good job. Let's hear it for Josh. You guys got to encourage him on. Encourage him on. Wow. Unbelievable. Now let's see what happens. All right. Come on, guys. Let's hear it for him. Josh, go! Come on, man! Come on! Come on! Did you kind of get stuck on that last one, buddy?
I made it.
Huh?
I made it.
You made it?
Yeah, you didn't see that. I made it.
You're also lying to yourself. Okay, those guys saw it, and you didn't make it, Josh. You got stuck. You thought you got there, but you didn't quite get over it, did you?
No.
No, okay. Well, so you basically failed. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
In other words, you're an utter miserable failure. Is that what we're saying? You feeling pretty bad about things right here? Okay, good. Well, I tell you what, just sit down right over there. We're going to give you a little encouragement here in just a minute. Let's hear it for him. Didn't he do a great job? Awesome. I mean, what are you cheering for? A guy didn't make it, you know? He got over some of them, but he didn't get over all of them. Now, here's what I want you to see tonight. This real simple little point to that illustration, and that's this. You know, every day when we run the Christian life, we come up against hurdles. And we try to jump them. We try to get over them. Some of them we try to cheat on. Some of them we try to skirt around. Some of them we really try to get over. Sometimes we just stop at the end and we say, look, I just can't do it. I can't get over the hurdle. I just stop here and I get stuck. There's a passage over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 that tells us how to begin to get over the hurdles. And here is that passage of Scripture. Therefore, the Bible says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race that's set before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured this cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God on high. And then it says in verse 3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary, tired, faint-hearted, and quit in the middle of the race. I want us to look at that passage of Scripture for just a few minutes tonight, and there are three simple things I want us to see out of it. The first thing I want to do is I want us to hear the cheerleaders, all right? Hear the cheerleaders. And I'm sure we've got lots of cheerleaders in here, and you're going to have a chance to exercise your cheerleading abilities here in just a minute. But when we look at this passage of Scripture, look at what it says before the cheerleaders get all excited out there. Here's what it says. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, and I want you to look, as you picture this in your mind, here up in heaven, there is this great cloud, this great group, this huge number of people that have already gone before us, and they're already up there in heaven, and they've already gone ahead of us. Many of them have died in their faith. Many of them have been martyrs for their faith. All of them have lived faithfully, and God has said, well done, good and faithful servant, and they're already there. And the thing I want you to see tonight is this, is that according to this passage in Scripture, there's a whole crowd of people, thousands and thousands and millions of believers who have gone on before you, who have jumped over the hurdles. They have gone along the way of the Christian life. They moved past getting stuck on these things, and they jumped over the hurdles. And in jumping over the hurdles, they made it to heaven. And tonight, they're there, and they're sitting up there, and they're yelling for us. They're saying, go, go, go. There are people like John Wesley. There are people like George Whitefield. There are people like my wife who is there. And they're yelling over the edge of heaven to us, go, 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 go. Now, you cheerleaders, let's hear it. Go, 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 go. Okay, Josh, come here. All right. Hang on a second. Now, Josh had a hard time there a few minutes ago, and he was having a tough time getting over the hurdles. Here's what I want you to do tonight. Here's what I want you to do. Here's a guy who was struggling hard. I mean, he was trying to get there. You guys really weren't that encouraging, quite frankly. I think you could have been a whole lot more encouraging to guys. So what I want to do is I want to hear you just say, on the basis of what we just saw, imagining yourself as those people who are sitting up there in heaven, just to Josh, and Josh representing you and me, to just say, go, go, go. Watch this real clearly. What I want you to see is this. Is that there are all these people who have gone before. There are all these people that have gone before. They've jumped the hurdles. And tonight, we don't need to get stuck there. Because we know that there have been a lot of people already have gone faithfully ahead of us. They've gone faithfully ahead. They've jumped those hurdles. And because they have jumped the hurdles, we can find the courage in ourselves to jump those same hurdles. And they're standing up there cheering for us, saying, go, go, go. And they're saying to us, we want you. We want you to go. We want you to go. Don't stop now. And there are a lot of you in here tonight who have just said, you're here this week and you're saying, I don't care. You've already given up. And Josh and I want you to know tonight, hey, now's not the time to give up. Here are the cheerleaders. Here I'm saying, go, go, go. Good job, buddy. You guys made the application really well, okay? Good job. First point, I want you to know, here are the cheerleaders. But the second thing I want you to see is this, is that when you come up against those hurdles, somehow you got to jump them. And jumping hurdles isn't always an easy thing to do. So that is, the writer of Hebrews says here, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily tangles us up. Let's throw that off so that we can jump the hurdles. Let's get over these hurdles. But jumping hurdles isn't easy. My son Jonathan, when he was a junior in high school, they started a track program at his school, and he had a friend who went out for track along with him and a few other guys, and there's a very small track team, and we didn't have a track or anything like that, and so they just practiced on a field somewhere, and Jonathan ran the half mile and the mile, but his friend Ahmad was running the hurdles. And so he had never came to his first track meet, and he had never actually jumped over a hurdle before. And so this hurdling event begins, and the gun goes off, the starter shoots the gun, and Ahmad takes off, and man, he's leading. It's unbelievable. I mean, he's got this huge lead coming out of the blocks, and then he gets to the first hurdle. And when he gets to the first hurdle, he jumps, and he's got plenty of room to clear this thing. No problem whatsoever. He jumps, and he's really high up over it, except he jumped way too early. And when he came down, he just split the hurdle. And he went flying across the asphalt, skin going everywhere, and it was just a bloody mess. He quit, never came back. See, jumping hurdles is not an easy thing to do. And some of us have gotten stuck at those hurdles, and the result of that is that some of us are at the point where we're ready to quit. And God is saying to you tonight, no, don't quit. Don't quit. This isn't about quitting. In fact, this isn't even about you jumping the hurdles. This is about me. Because one of the things that I want you to see tonight is this. As we start talking about hurdles that we need to jump, one of the things I want you to see tonight is that this isn't about you jumping the hurdles. All God asks you to do is to come up to that hurdle and have the courage to take the first step. And then He's the one who says, by the power of His Holy Spirit, He'll get you over that hurdle. By His power within you, He'll get you over that hurdle. It won't be about you getting over the hurdle. It's about Him getting you over that hurdle. And so tonight, when we're talking about jumping these hurdles, all He's asking you to do is come to the hurdle and take the first step, and He'll give you everything you need to get over and beyond that hurdle. Let's look at those seven hurdles that I have up here tonight, and seven hurdles I want us to look at tonight, because these are the seven hurdles that I found in my own personal life, and I found with high school and junior high students all across America continue to plague them and cause them not to be able to move on in the Christian life, to be able to do the things that God has given them to do in the Christian life, and that's where we get stuck. So let's just face the hurdles that are in front of us and be honest about them tonight and say, God, would you show me which hurdles I need to jump tonight? And help me to be honest enough to face those hurdles with a spirit of brokenness and openness. Here's the first one. The first one is impurity. And I want you to just see that one, okay? Impurity. There have been studies that have been done that show that guys think about sex every 29 seconds. Unbelievable. The girls are thinking, every 29 seconds? I can't believe that. That's unbelievable. The guys are saying, I thought it was every 8 seconds. Hey guys, impurity plagues us. I mean, the truth is, when we come to this one, I mean, that hurdle is much higher than the chairs that are represented over there. I mean, that is a huge, huge, huge hurdle from us. And Paul says, when he writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, he says, shun youthful passions. Run. He says, run away from those. Run away from youthful passions. He says, run. And some of you are saying, man, I've been running, I'm running. But it keeps catching up with me. And some of you are at the point where you're saying about that hurdle tonight, you're saying impurity. There's no way I can ever win in that battle. It's a battle that I keep losing over and over and over again. I've confessed so many times that I'm sick of confessing, and I give up. Here's the question you got to answer tonight if you're going to get over that hurdle. Do you want to be a trash can or a temple? Do you want to be a trash can or a temple? And God's called you guys. Particularly, I'm talking to guys here now, the girls, this applies to you as well. But I want you to see tonight that God's called you not to be a trash can, but He's called you to be a temple. Several years ago, I made that decision personally. I took a day, it took me a whole day away with God just to get a lot of this stuff in this particular area straightened out in my life. In fact, I took a whole day away just to go back to the time when I was in the 7th grade and I started picking up words off the bathroom and locker room wall and incorporating them into my vocabulary. And then in junior high school, when we played the spin the bottle game, okay? Y'all don't play that spin the bottle. Y'all just don't even mess with the bottle. You just kind of go at it, you know? And then in high school, you get in the makeout scene, and then you get the whole masturbation issue. And I mean, let's just be honest. We're talking honest now. It's not funny. There's nothing funny about it. This is serious business. To every guy in here, that is a huge, huge, huge issue. And it's creating impurity in your life. And it was creating impurity in my life. And I remember I got down on my face before God and I said, God, if you'll get me over this hurdle, if you'll start me in the right direction, I'll confess all this stuff to you that I've done in the past. I'll confess it to you. And I'm going to ask you to make me clean and give me a fresh, new start in this area
tonight, guys, there are hundreds of guys across here who need to come and kneel down, jump over that hurdle. And God says to you, if you'll come and just take the first step, I'll get you over. And I want to assure you from my own personal experience that you won't do it perfectly. But man, when you fall down and you mess up, then God says, just get up, brush off your knees and move on, because I've already taken care of it. I've already taken care of it. You just come and jump, and you keep jumping, and I'll get you over that hurdle. That's the first one we've got to nail down, guys. If you're going to get unstuck in the Christian life, if you're going to get over the hurdles and move on to the goal line, and the goal line being Jesus himself, then you've got to face that hurdle and deal with it. Here's the second one. Here's the second hurdle. The second hurdle is this. Do you gripe and complain and have a bad attitude? I mean, I just wonder today, a lot of you have come on this trip today and you've been on the bus and you've been in vans and all the cars and all that kind of stuff. I wonder how many of you today, just in coming here, have said things like this. Shut up. I hate your guts. You're a jerk. Get away. Don't touch me. You're bugging me. You ever done this? You know, somebody's bugging you, so you go into your room, okay? You go in your room, you slam the door. You turn up the stereo as loud as it can go so the walls are going, whoa, 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 okay? And you leave a note out there that says, I hate your guts. Love, Sue. Here's what I want to ask you tonight, this simple question. Here's the question that we're trying to deal with. Do you have a bad attitude? Do you gripe and complain and have a bad attitude? Here's what Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says about that. It says, do all things without griping and complaining, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. See, one of the reasons that people around you are not able to see the light of Jesus in you is because your attitude absolutely stinks. And God is saying tonight, look, you know, I want you to do an attitude adjustment here. I want you to do an attitude change. I want you to turn that attitude around. I want you to bring it. It's a hurdle. It's something that's keeping you from really being able to express the love of Christ to your friends, even in your own youth group, much less the people out there who really need to see Jesus. And so as a result of that, that bad attitude causes your light not to shine bright, but to be dimmed. Tonight, let me ask you. Do you need to jump the hurdle of a bad attitude? And then let's go to the third one. Here's the third one. The third one is disrespecting your parents. Disrespecting parents. Now, here's where it gets kind of heavy duty. Do you honor and obey your parents? Do you honor and obey your parents is the question we want to ask. You say, but my mom nags me. My mom nags me. I know she nags you. Here's how she nags you. Here's what you do. You're laying on the couch, okay? And she comes by and says, would you please take out the trash? You say, okay. And 15 minutes later, she comes back again and says, please take out the trash. You're saying, got it. 30 minutes later, she comes back through and says, take out the trash! You say, nag, nag, nag. My mom just nags me all the time. See, that's the way your mom nags you, really. Because we just don't respond to our parents with respect and honor and obedience. You know, you have two options with your parents. Here are the two options. Number one is you can relax, or number two, you can rebel. If you rebel, you say, hey, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to do it that way, and I don't care what anybody else thinks, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. That's what rebellion is. Or you can relax and say, you know, God gave me my parents, and they know a little bit about what they're doing, and so I'm just going to relax and let my parents be my parents, and believe that God put them in my life so that He can use them to shape and mold my life. You know, there are some people here tonight who come from homes that are just awful. You come from homes that are awful. You come from a home where your parents have abused you. You come from a home where there's alcohol or maybe even drug use. You come from a home where there's a lot of fighting and unhappiness. There are probably a number of people in here who come from those kind of homes. And you know, my heart goes out to you for that. And I look at that and I say, from my point of view, that's not fair. That is not fair. But I want you to know this. That even if we don't think it's fair, and even if it's an awful home situation, does your rebellion help fix the problem? No. Just makes it worse. In fact, what it creates in you is bitterness and depression and despair. If your parents are awful tonight, my heart does go out to you. But I'm saying to you, let God use your parents, as awful as they are, let God use your parents to shape and mold your life. Unless it's to the point where it's an unbearable, abusive situation. Let God shape and mold your life, knowing that, boy, yeah, it'd be great to have two Christian parents. It'd be great to have a Christian home. But God is going to use that to shape and mold you and to use you in ways that you never even imagined if you'll just submit to what God's trying to do there and quit rebelling. However, the vast majority of the people in this room are not from homes where your parents are awful. In fact, it's the other way around. You're awful. You're awful. Your attitude absolutely stinks. You think about this summer and the things that have happened in your home where you have been disrespectful to your parents, dishonoring to your parents, unloving toward your parents, disobedient to your parents. You think about all the times that's happened this summer. And it becomes pretty considerable, doesn't it? I mean, the truth is, for a lot of us in here tonight, that is huge. And speaking through Paul, God said this. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. You got awful parents? Obey them in the Lord. You got great parents? Obey them in the Lord. Obey them as if you're obeying the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth, so that you might be happy and you might have a long life. God says that's the reward of obeying your parents. And so tonight, my challenge to you is a very simple challenge in terms of this hurdle right here. And that is that you go to your parents and you ask your parents forgiveness. And if you do, it'll make a significant impact in your home. I've got a letter here from my son. I'll see him tomorrow for the first time in 6 weeks, and I'm really looking forward to it. He's 20 now. About 3 or 4 years ago, he wrote this letter. This is part of it. He said, I just finished crying out to the Lord with tears in my eyes that He would forgive me for my disrespect and lack of appreciation for you guys. He heard a talk kind of like this one. He says, I need to ask your forgiveness as well. I'm always so selfish and self-seeking when it comes to our family. I haven't loved you all in the correct way by serving. I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? And I can't tell you, as a parent, speaking for your parents, I can't tell you how much it meant to me to get that letter. The tears came, and they flowed down my face when I read that letter. And I want you to know your parents will respond in exactly the same kind of way. And tonight, the way we jump that hurdle is to come tonight and say, God, you know, I've been disrespectful and dishonoring to my parents. And then as soon as this is over, if that's where you're going to jump the hurdle tonight, then you jam these phone lines, calling your parents back home and saying, Mom and Dad, please forgive me. Please forgive me for my stinking attitude at home, and I want to ask your forgiveness for it. If that's a hurdle for you tonight, then I'm asking you tonight to simply come and be honest about it and say, God, I need to get over that hurdle, and I'm coming and being honest. And with your help, I'll begin to honor my parents. Let's go on to the fourth one. Here's the fourth one. Do you lie, steal, or cheat? Do you lie, steal, or cheat? Do you know that 75% of all of the high school and junior high people in America, students across America, cheat in school? 75%. That means out of this group, 3/4 of the people in here would cheat if it was all things being equal and if everything was normal. 75% cheat. And some of us say that's terrible, and it is terrible. But for a lot of us, it's true, because we fit into that 75%. We're a part of that 75%. I understand. I do understand. When I was in college, I was in a German class. And I cheated on those German tests in that class. And I remember going to a conference like this, wasn't this big, going to a conference where the speaker was speaking like I'm speaking to you, and God spoke to me. And he said, "That was wrong. That's wrong, and I want you to get it right." And you know, I resisted that. Boy, I pushed that away so hard. And you know why? Because I knew that if I was honest about that, then I was going to have to go back to that professor and get that right. And I could lose my reputation. I could lose my degree because I'd already gotten my degree by this point. I could lose everything that I worked so hard for. And God spoke to me and he said, "Barry, if you don't do that, then I'm going to put you on the shelf and I can't use you. You'll never be able to get beyond that hurdle with me unless you get really honest about that." And I'll never forget the day that I walked into this room and picked up that telephone and I called that professor on the phone and I said to him, "Doctor, this is Barry St. Clair. When I was in your class, I cheated on some tests. My hands were trembling. My voice was shaking. And I said, I cheated on some tests. And I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and I know that that was wrong." And I said to him, "Will you forgive me for doing that?" And you know, he did. And I hung up that phone, and it was like, wow! The closet door was open. The skeletons were out of the closet. The lights, the blinds had been opened up. The light was shining. I didn't have to hide from that anymore. And there are a lot of you here who have been dishonest, and you've cheated, and you've lied, and you've stolen things. And that's a hurdle for you. And until you get it right and go back and get it right with God and then go back and make restitution, God is not going to get you on the way in the Christian life. And so tonight, come and be honest about that and just let God deal with it. You come and jump. God will get you over. He'll get you over the hurdle. He'll do it. Here's another one. Number 5 is bitterness keeping you from forgiving another person. Bitterness is the issue here. Is bitterness keeping you from forgiving another person? How many of you in here, I want to ask you to raise your hands here. How many of you in here would say that sometime in the past, you have had your best friend turn his or her back on you? Raise your hand. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Me too. Me too. And you know, that hurts so badly. That hurts so badly that it can create anger and resentment and bitterness, that it destroys us. And I would guess that in this room tonight, there's some of us here who have all kinds of bitterness toward that person because that person has turned their back on us. A boyfriend who dumped you, a girlfriend who dumped you, a friend who was supposed to be your best friend, and they took off and they're no longer your friend. That happened to me. And it was really hard for me to deal with that. I had to keep coming to that hurdle again and again and again for a long time. But God showed me the words of Jesus. When Jesus said, "If you forgive men of their sins, then I'll forgive you. But if you don't forgive men of their sins, then I can't forgive you. I won't forgive you." Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Jesus said that. Let me ask you simply tonight. Are you hanging on, holding on to bitterness because of what somebody else has done toward you? And you know that it's eating you up inside. It's eating you up inside. Tonight, I want to ask you to come to that hurdle and say, "God, give me the courage to jump that hurdle. Give me the courage to stand there and be honest about it and say there's bitterness in my life and I don't want to have that bitterness inside of me anymore." Here's another one. Number 6. This is the flip side of the bitterness one. And that is, have you mistreated other people? Are there some other people in your life that you have mistreated? In other words, instead of being the one who was the receiver of the bad behavior, receiver of the rejection, you are a person who was the giver of that rejection. You are the person who mistreated another person and treated that person wrongly. I have one sister, her name is Kathy. When I was 16 and she was 13, I was working on the science project out in my side patio. I was finishing it, getting it ready for school tomorrow. And I asked my little sister to go in and get me a glass of water. And like a good little sister, she went in there and got the glass of water. She brought it out. And I said, just hold it. I was working on this poster and I was working away. And she just kept, she said, take it. And I said, no, just hold it. And I kept working away on this project deal. And she said, take the glass. I said, no, just hold on to it a minute. And I was working away. She said, take the glass. I said, no, just hold on. Finally, she just got so angry with me that she poured it all over this poster when I was almost finished. And I stood up and I slapped her right across the face. And she went running in the house. And I went running in after because I wanted to hit her again. I mean, I was so mad. But you know what happened out of that? Out of that experience, our relationship got out of sync. And so I'd try to get her a date or something. It was always the wrong guy. I'd try to buy her. That's not her back there. I would try to buy her something. And it was the wrong thing. And every time I tried to do something for her, it just wasn't working out. And then at some time later, she was going through a real crisis in her own life, having some struggles that she was going through. And she sat down with my mother one night around the table, and she said to my mother, she said, you know, Barry has really been a crummy big brother to me. Whew, boy, that hurt when my mom passed that along to me. And my mom told me that. I'd become a believer by that time, and I said, God, what do you want me to do? And I went to my sister and we sat down. And I remember sitting on one end of the couch and she was at the other end of the couch. And I said to her, I said, Kathy, I said, I have been a crummy big brother to you. And I mentioned about 8 ways that I had done that. And then I said to her, Kathy, would you forgive me for that? Would you forgive me for being a crummy big brother to you? And she sat there what seemed like an eternity with a stone cold look on her face. And then the tears just welled up in her eyes. And she scooted across that couch. And I hugged her and she hugged me and all the barriers came down. And our relationship was right. You know, within 6 weeks of that time, this major crisis issue that she was facing, God gave me something to give to her that caused that thing to turn, and it turned the whole direction of her life relationally from that point on to even to this day. It turned the whole direction of her life in a different direction that would have gone before, positively rather than negatively. And I thought many times, what if I'd just been the prideful big brother and said, it's just my stupid little sister? Or I'd said, it's just not that big a deal. Where would she be today? Where would she be if I had mistreated her and not gotten it right? Because Jesus said, if you come to worship like we're doing here tonight, you come to worship. If you come to worship and there remember that you've got something against your brother, or your brother has something against you. If you go and you remember that your brother has something against you, go and make things right with your brother. Be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift of worship. He says, you can't even worship until you get these things right. And so tonight, Jesus says to us, look, if you've mistreated other people like I mistreated my sister, then just be honest about it. Come to that hurdle, jump it, and be willing to go and ask that person's forgiveness for what you've done wrong.